Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Thank you for joining me for the Trumpet of Truth podcast. My name is Brother Greg Bray. I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Bruce, Mississippi.
Hey, neighbor. I'm glad you joined me for the podcast today. I've been looking forward to this one again, as I have every week, looking forward to the podcast. We're still talking about the Bible, but today we're going to talk about why we believe that the King James Bible is the Bible. This is a very controversial topic because there are so many versions of Scripture out there. But let me inform you of some things, and I'm going to try to give you a little bit of thoughts about some of these things that I say. First of all, one of the reasons that I don't use other versions of the Bible is because there are complete verses that are left out of them. And the best that I can tell in my study, these versions have left out verses that have to do with the preeminence of Christ. Now, when I say the preeminence of Christ, I'm talking about his superiority, the fact that he surpasses all others. I guess probably the best part of the scripture to explain the preeminence of Christ is that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That means that he's far above all other kings. He is far above all other lords. Any superiority here on this earth, Jesus is greater. Now, I like to read the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews actually states that Jesus is better. He's better. The key word in the whole book of Hebrews would be the word better. He's a better revelation of God in chapter 1. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He has better blood. He's a better tabernacle. He's made a better covenant. I mean, we could just keep going on all of these things, but Jesus is better. He's far superior to anything that you or myself could ever think about. He's better. And that's been left out of these other versions of Scripture. And I don't like that. I'm going to be honest with you. I do not like that. I want to see everything that I can see about Jesus, and I don't want anything to be left out of it. I want to see it all. Matter of fact, we've been warned if you add to or take away, I believe he talked about a curse. I truly do. But praise God for the King James Bible. Now, let me give you some examples. I said that some of the other translations had left out words, whole verses. One of the verses that's left out of a version, I'll tell you in just a moment which version it is, but Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 38 says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Now, let me give you some scripture. Let me see if I can get to it without losing the recording here. In the New International Version, the 37th verse that says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That verse is completely left out of the New International Version, the NIV. Why do we want to read the version if it has verses completely left out? And listen, the verse explains what the eunuch must do to be saved. And it talks about Jesus, him believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's left completely out of the New International Version. Oh me, that's somewhat a perversion, isn't it? And that just bothers me that people would want to read that and all of these things about Jesus is left out. It's kind of hard to believe. All right, another one is this. In Matthew chapter number 17 and verse number 19 through 21, the King James Bible says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?'" They were confronted by one that had a devil or a demon, and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Verse number 21 says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." So I look in the NIV version and New International Version, and verse 21 is completely left out of the NIV Bible, or the New International Version of the Bible. That's why I stay away from these versions, because I don't want to read one that got some of God's word is left out. So I believe the King James Bible is the Bible. Okay, I don't want to just pick on one version, the NIV. Let me give you something from the New American Standard. I just read to you the verses from Matthew chapter number 17 and told you that verse number 21 was completely left out, that says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." In the New American Standard Bible, that verse number 21, is in brackets, which means, I've got a Bible program, and it has a little thing that I can put my arrow on the screen, and it pops up and says, "Early manuscripts do not contain this verse. Now, what that's saying is that, of course, our King James Bible was taken from the Textus Receptus, and that means the received text. That's the manuscript that our King James Bible comes from, in which that's one of the earliest versions and versions of the Textus Receptus, or one of the earliest manuscripts. But there are other manuscripts that men have put together, and they've left these verses out. One man said that there was a couple of men that put some of these manuscripts together, Westcott and Hort. You may find that somewhere. And he said that what they did is they had like a black magic marker, and they marked through verse after verse after verse, and they had to do with the things that Jesus would do, his power and his preeminence. And so what this is saying in this New American Standard Bible is that early manuscripts do not contain this verse. In other words, these other manuscripts don't have this verse. Well, let's go with the one that does have this verse, and our King James Bible comes from that manuscript. Thank God that we have this. I'm not going to go through any more here to bore you with these things, but I wanted to let you know why I read and study the King James Bible, and I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of our living God. Listen, Brother Isaac and Brother John Carl, as they sing a little song that kind of sets up our thoughts about the King James Bible.
What light is that shining so brightly for me? That gives me such courage, the right way to be. What hope for that weary soul ever shall be? God's wonderful book divine. Well, I love the old Bible, the old King James Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. And it keeps me so happy, yes, always so happy. God's wonderful book divine. Take a verse, John Carl.
Last verse and my favorite. Now, if you are wondering of what book I sing, it's the same one the old time revivals did bring. It's the only true Bible authorized by the King. God's wonderful book divine. Oh, I love the old Bible, the old King James Bible.
Yes, sir. I love the old Bible, the old King James Bible. Praise God. Why would you have trouble with that? I love that old Bible. Yes, sir. Praise God for that great book divine. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have something like pop-up preaching. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a pop-up preaching, popcorn preaching. Some of them call it 3-minute preaching, 5-minute preaching. We're just going to have some pop-up testifying about the King James Bible. So listen real close to all these fellows as they testify about their belief in the King James Bible.
Stands out to me in a huge, huge way. The King James Version is not copyrighted, but every other version is copyrighted. It seems to me like that screams and hollers that man didn't do this to help somebody else. They made these versions or perversions for material and wealth to be added to their pocket. Something that they wanted to do to make money on.
Yeah, John Carl, I'd heard that before about the copyright, but I got to thinking about that. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there with other folks doing the Bible with something else in mind besides reaching people for Christ. I mean, the King James obviously was translated from the approved text with the sole purpose of getting the written word of God to as many people as possible. And that's what we need to be doing. But all the other versions, as you mentioned, have copyrights. And if you think of the word copyright or even the definition of copyright, that in itself tells you that it's not of God. You obviously can't copyright God-inspired words. You can only copyright stuff that is yours. So if I'm a business and I want to copyright my logo, or I want to copyright stuff that I produced or whatever, music or whatever I'm doing, I can only copyright stuff that I have done of me. And so just by the definition of copyright, it can't be of God. So nothing outside the King James Version that's been copyrighted, in my opinion, is of God, because you can't copyright that. You can only copyright by legal terms what you did yourself, or what you yourself own. And I want a Bible that's inspired by God. That's why I choose the King James Version, another perversion or book that's copyrighted by man, because it was by law created by man. So that just kind of in the definition of copyright itself. And of course, there's a million other things I've heard. You know, the NIV, I think is what it was, the words Jesus, or the names Jesus, Christ, and Lord were removed like 200 times, I think I read, something of that nature. So, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but, you know, I kind of, obviously every word in the Bible is important, but you would think somebody that's retranslating or whatever, they would get those names right. You would think that's obviously those three are the big ones. You don't get those wrong. And to be omitted 200 times, that's kind of a red flag right there for some of them. So, and I think it's just a society thing. We have society wants to move as far away from an absolute truth as possible. The King James, the inspired word of God, is absolute truth. There is right and there is wrong. And we see our society moving away from that. I mean, criminals want to change laws. They want to get rid of stuff that's hard, that makes them criminals. Even in work society truths, people want to gain money without working. It's just not, that's no longer the truth of you have to work for that. And I know there's people that can't physically work or mentally work, and we have the biblical obligation to take care of those. But there's so many people that just, they want to get rid of everything that's truth. And I think all these perversions are, it's just a slowly moving us away from the truth and absolute truth, creating Bibles that are not hard, that don't teach us hard things. If we go through something hard, we have to learn those truths. And many of the other perversions don't. They just, they kind of skip around that. They remove the hard things to where it doesn't offend us as much. The Bible cuts like a two-edged sword, as it said, and it's going to offend us. When we do wrong, it's going to hurt, and we're going to have to learn from that. And the King James is the absolute truth. And many of these other versions, you're not going to see. You're not going to see that those things that are wrong challenged. You're not going to see those hard things listed as much. And I pray that I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling that we're fixing to come out. I say we. That society is probably fixing to come out with a LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ approved version of something that takes out anything that names a man and a woman or talks about any of the homosexuality being wrong. I just have a feeling it's coming out. We've even got denominations in the quote-unquote Christian circles that are being accepting to homosexuality, that are even allowing homosexuals to hold offices and preach and different things. So I think that's coming. I think we're going to see the LGBTQ approved version. And I just, it's so sad that we keep constantly moving further away from the truth when we need to go back to the absolute truth, in which I think that's the King James version. And I know this is a very long rant about that, but John Carl, you got me thinking when you said copyright. In just some of my classes at school, we teach copyright and trademarks and things like that. And by law, the only way you can copyright something is if you own it. And that's not the word of God. If you did it, it's not the word of God. So just by definition, those versions are not words of God in my opinion. So hope that's not too long. Appreciate you guys. Thank you, Greg, for doing all this. I appreciate your podcast and your intentions of sharing the word of God to as many people as possible. This is what we need to hear. This is what the world needs to hear. And not me, you, and all these other guys preaching the word of God. That's what this world needs to hear. So,
the reason that I believe the Bible, the King James Bible, is the Bible, is the true, literal, inspired word of God. It is not the words of man. It is not the words of just a man named Paul or John or Luke or anybody else that wrote the Bible. The reason I believe that the King James Bible is the scripture, is the living, breathing word of God, is because it is a living book. And by that I mean that I have read many books in my day. I have read commentaries. I have read novels. I have read science fiction. I have read autobiographies, biographies, and the list goes on of the books that I have read in just a few short 30 years that I've been on this earth. But no book, whether it be a man's writing or whether it be a different translation of the Bible, speaks to my heart like the Word of God. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So the reason I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God is because it speaks to my heart. It bears witness with my spirit. It thrills my heart when I read it, and it lets me know that I'm saved, first of all. And there is no other book that can let you know that you are saved, that can give you hope, that can thrill your heart and thrill your soul like the Word of God. And with different translations, when a man or a woman or whoever it may be takes the Word of God and breaks it down and changes what it says, it no longer speaks in the pure, unadulterated, unabridged voice of God to my heart like the King James Bible does. Therefore, I will continue to read, I will continue to preach and stand with and on the King James Bible. If the King James Bible was not the Word of God, then why is there such an attack on it? As I say in other times, that the devil has an imitation for every right thing and every truth that God has. The devil has an imitation and a lie for it. And just as he has an imitation for creation, which is evolution, he has an imitation for the Bible, which are other translations, New King James, the NLT, the NIV. You can go on and on. The list just keeps getting longer and longer of different translations.
One thing I've always found interesting about the King James Bible is you can use any translation you want. People that use the NIV are okay with the New King James, they're okay with a standardized version or any kind out there. They're all right with every other label of a so-called Bible except the King James. They don't like the King James Bible. And so I've always found that interesting that they're all right with other translations, just not the King James Bible. I've always found it interesting that you'll often hear people that do not use a King James Bible quote John 3:16 in the King James Version. I have always found that interesting. And the reason that that is, in my opinion, is because the King James is the Word of God. And so other translations don't have the power that the King James Bible does. That's why often they will use the King James when they quote famous verses, because their translations have watered it down and they're trying to make a point. Something I said in a previous podcast needs to be repeated because it applies to the subject that we're talking about now, which is the Bible, the King James Bible. And that is that our God found it no problem at all to create the world in 6 literal days by speaking it into an existence. Think about that. Everything. How everything works together so well, and he just spoke it into existence. 6 days. That God would have no problems, and did have no problems, keeping simply a record of his word together for us. And that's the King James Bible. I want to read out of Matthew 5, verse 17. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets."
We're going to end with Jay Pruitt talking about the King James Bible. Just remember that you can contact me at trumpetoftruth85@gmail.com. And after this, we will close the podcast for this week. It's been a little lengthy, not too bad. I don't apologize because we're getting the truth out. So use your King James Bible when you go to church tomorrow and have a good time in the Lord.
Talking about the King James Bible, you know, when I first think about that, I think about why do I use it? And I think that's what you asked us, Brother Greg, but I grew up on it. Like most of these other men have said, they did. But that's not why I use it. As a matter of fact, I never think about that. I don't want to use something or trust something like the Bible and many other things just because that's what we've always done, or even because that's what my mom and daddy did or my grandparents. I use it because I found it to be the most reliable, and I'll go into that in just a minute. But it's not because anybody told me to. It's not because it's what I grew up on, although both of those are true. I use it because I've done the research, and that's the one that I found I believe is the truly inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I think that's where you got to start when you start talking about Bible versions, especially if you're talking to somebody who doesn't agree with you necessarily. I think common ground has to be, the question, do you believe that we do have an infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God available to us? And again, my answer is yes. And in the English language, it's the King James Bible, in my opinion. But if someone doesn't believe that, you can't go any further with them. Because everything, or at least not with these arguments that I'm about to make, because everything that I'm going over is part of those three, the inerrant, the infallible, the inspired Word of God. So that's where you have to start. Do you believe we have a copy of it available to us? If you don't, that's another conversation. If you do, which one is it? It can't be all of them. And I'm not going to spend any time degrading other versions. There's no need. I just want to lift up the King James Version, which I think is the right one. But if we do have an English copy of the Word of God, and we say that it's infallible, it's inerrant, and it's inspired, my question is simply, which one is it? Because it can't be all of them, because they all don't agree. And many of the other translations don't agree with themselves. Let me give you an example. So I'm going to give you an example where there's a difference between the King James and the New American Standard Bible, which is what a lot of people are holding to nowadays. And I'm not here to throw dirt on them. But that's just the truth. So in the King James, you can read this for yourself, but 2 Samuel 21:19 says, "And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jerioregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam." Now, that verse, what I simply want you to see is that it says that Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. Because we know who slew Goliath. That was David. Shepherd boy David, which went on to become King David. So in 2 Samuel 21:19, the King James, it says that Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. Also in the King James, that corresponding account in 1 Chronicles 20, verse 5 says, "And there was war again with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, slew Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam." Same thing. Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. That's what the King James says in both 2 Samuel 21:19 and 1 Chronicles 20, verse 5. Now, in the New American Standard Bible, here's what it says. 2 Samuel 21:19. "And there was war with the Philistines again at Gob, and Elhanan, the son of Jerioregim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam." That verse just said that Elhanan killed Goliath. We know that's not true. But let's go a little bit even further. In the same Bible, the New American Standard Bible, in the corresponding account in 1 Chronicles 20, verse 5, listen to this. "And there was war with the Philistines again, and Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam." So now, notice in the New American Standard Bible, in 2 Samuel, it says Elhanan killed Goliath. In the same Bible, New American Standard, 1 Chronicles 20, verse 5 says Elhanan killed the brother of Goliath. So that Bible contradicts itself. Not only is it different from the King James Version, which is one thing, but that Bible contradicts itself. And some people may say, what difference does it make? Well, you answer that. What difference does it make? Can you depend on it if you can't trust it? If there are contradictions, if there are errors, what can you trust? We weren't there when it was written. What if one day they come and say, "Hey, John 3:16 really is not in there"? What are you going to do? What are you going to do then? So we have to draw the line somewhere, and that's kind of what we're talking about. Listen to this one, and this is the last example I give. In the King James, Matthew 16:19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Notice the tense here. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt shall be." Whatsoever thou shalt shall be. That's the tenses there. Now listen to the New American Standard. Same thing, Matthew 16:19. And I'm not just picking on the New American Standard Bible. I picked that one because that's the one a lot of people are moving to nowadays. Here's what it says. Same verse, Matthew 16:19, New American Standard Bible. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Now, this is what I was saying. Which version is it? If you believe there's an infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God, which one is it? Because the King James and the New American Standard Bible clearly say two different things in that same verse. So even if you don't believe the King James is it, you have to see that there's a difference there. And they can't mean the same thing. The King James says, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." The New American Standard says, "Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven." It's a clear difference. And as far as the question of what difference does it make, it's not relating to salvation. I say be very careful with that. If you can't trust the Word of God, you can't trust it. It's like the law. A lot of people will say that all sin is equal. It's not. All sins are not equal. The Bible does say that if you break one, you've broke them all. So there is a law that that the Jews were held to, and if you broke one, you broke the law. It was broken. Doesn't matter which one you broke. Wasn't saying they're all equal. It was just saying if you break one, you broke them all. And so my thing with this is, in your Bible, what can you trust and what can you not? And if you weren't there when it was recorded and written, when the Holy Spirit whispered it to these authors, and how great this Bible is, that, you know, you've got 66 books, you know, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and they all line right up with each other, written across thousands of years, it's amazing. It's amazing. So, question one was, do we have an infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God? If we do, which one is it? Because it can't be all the versions. It can't be. Because they're different. And then, what else might be changed that we don't know yet? I don't think that's not a problem, because I believe we have an infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God in the King James Version, which is, you know, in the English language. And I haven't found one error in it. Now, a lot of people will point to some things, and you can always resolve them. You might not be able to do it off the top of your head, but take a little time to study it. A lot of times people get in trouble when they're debating someone or talking to someone, because this person they're talking to has spent a lot of time researching these contradictions, they say, or these errors, and they put all this time in how to phrase the question they ask you and what they're going to say and what they're going to say if you say this, and they kind of catch you off the cuff. That's not very fair. So I always say, you need to give me some time to look at this. You need to give me some time to think about this and study this. Don't say something that's going to be contradictory. Don't say something that's going to be wrong. It's kind of like evolution. You know, evolution's from the pit of hell. But, you know, I got news for you. There is variance in species. They call it microevolution. I don't like that word because of what the word evolution kind of brings to our mind. I like variation or variance. But that definitely happens. So we as Christians don't need to say that stuff like that doesn't happen, because that's not true. That's foolish. And it dampers our argument. not necessarily a hostile argument, just our point of view. So I can't find one error in the King James Bible. I can't find one contradiction in the King James Bible. So that's why I trust it. And I can just tell you what the Holy Spirit does in my heart when I read it. Now, I can't speak for anyone else. Some people might say, Jay, don't you think that the Holy Spirit does that for people who read the NIV or the New King James or whatever you want to say? And my answer is, I don't know. I'm not them. I don't know what the Holy Spirit does in their life. I don't know what the Holy Spirit does in their heart. No need for me to speculate. I can just tell you about me. The Lord moves when this word is read, or when this word is read out loud, or when this word is preached and put forth. The Holy Spirit bears witness to that. And that's enough for me. So, again, I don't trust this King James Bible because somebody told me to. And I don't trust it blindly. I trust it because I found it to be what I think is the true, inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. Have a good day, brother.